Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
It's a real privilege.
You okay? You got me?
It's a real privilege today just to be with you. And for those that, you know, every one of us who want to serve God, we want to serve God and we want to know his heart for people. There's a wonderful scripture. It's not going to come up behind you. There's quite a bit of visuals today, which I'm thankful for my friend up there. Bless you. It says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. And he will rejoice over you with singing." Isn't that amazing? I just want you just to close your eyes just for a minute. I'm going to sing God's word. I've been singing it in every congregation, so I'm going to sing it here. I'm going to sing God's word just for a few minutes, just over. I just want you to receive. This is taken from Philippians 1. This is Pastor Collins' revelation in a personal way, as he's done in the epistles. But okay, just going to pray. Father, I pray today, Lord, that you touch every heart and every life. Lord, as Richard has already declared, Father, you're greater than any disaster. You're greater than any war zone. You're greater than any other tragedy. And Father, I thank you. Out of the tragedy of things that have happened in people's lives, Father, you redeem and you bring well. You restore and you heal. You save, Father, and you set free. But Lord, I thank you, Father, for the mercy of God, that Father, upon the cross, Father, everything that we did to separate us from you, Father, You took that place. You became the substitute for everything that we've done that would disfigure and disharm. And Father, by your very stripes, we are healed. And Lord, I do thank you today, Father, that you do rejoice over us with singing. As my beloved child, you're able to walk in my pure and blameless love every day of your life until I call you home to be with me in my glory. This is not the kind of love that is based on human desire. That often leads to disappointment and even guilt, which when such love fails or is misdirected. This is the love that endures forever. It never fails you. That is my love for you, child. Walking with me in this love will enable you to bear much fruit for my glory. This fruit is the result of the way my love, my spirit works through you to impact the life of others. With my love, with my life, with my power, with my victory, It is the fruit that can only be produced because you live in Christ. And He in you. It is the fruit that is the product of the bond of love that exists between me and you, my child. Between you and me, my child. It is the fruit that is the product of the bond of love that exists between me and you. Abide in my love. Live in my love. Stay close to me. Abide in my love. Live in my love. Stay close to me. Abide in my love. Live in my love. Stay close to me. Thank you, Jesus. You see, this fruit will be the result of our dependence and intimacy with Jesus. Kingdom fruit can only be produced because we live in Christ and He in us. Just want to show a first slide here now. See, we have a cultural saying in this country. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If something is not faulty or damaged, don't try to repair it. There is nothing missing, faulty or damaged in what Christ has achieved. When you look at what is translated in the Greek, it is finished. It is finished. It's the most perfect tense. It literally means to do a thing perfectly or perfectly perfect. Or completely complete. This is the closest that I come for with a Star Wars instrument in my hand now. It's not a lightsaber, it's just a pointer. But you see, what God has achieved on the cross here, He fully completed. It's perfectly perfect. It's completely complete. And the life that we live, we can only live because that abiding life. But without that cross taking place, that was the point in time where God stepped into history Himself as a human being. And He bore our sin upon that cross. He bore what separated us there upon His very body. You see, the life now that we have is because we're united with Him. And that life comes from the life of the Spirit. And God wants us, all of our lives, to be, just see yourselves as a fruitful branch. Amen. Just say to your neighbor, I'm a fruitful branch. Say it with passion. Say it with passion. I didn't hear the passion then. I'm a fruitful branch. For us of more of the technical understanding and understanding this basic, you see, who's got an extension lead at home? You see, we rely on that power source. And we want to run something, one of our multitude of gadgets. See, without the connection, there's no power. Remember Pastor Clive said ages ago, we want to be a people of a 63-amp supply. It's not your normal stuff that's coming through. We want to be connected to something. You see, the power that's connected to that, to what Jesus has done on the cross, God wants to take that out into a broken world. And that's why we're here. We're vessels of His grace. But we can only really stay abiding and live in His life. But God sees every one of His children in this light. Amen. John 15, 4 and 5 says, "Dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding." And the Amplified says, "Being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me." God delights to see us becoming more like His Son. Amen. A people who reflect His nature, His goodness to a broken world. You can just have the next slide, please. Romans 8, 20, 29. "He knew who would be His because He decided before He created us that He would have a people who would be like His Son. Those who would live as His brothers and sisters." What I love about this is that we were created in the image of God. Sin marred that image. And obviously we've seen the effects and the reality of sin on the world over these last few days. But sin marred that image. But when God brought us back to Himself, it was to restore His image in us and free us to become all that we were created to be. We became new creations. Amen. Just say to your person next to you, "I'm a new creation." It's true. It's a work of His grace and it's a work of His mercy and it's a work of His love. And when that took place, rather than living for ourselves, we now have a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. We used to live for ourselves, but now we live for God's glory and purposes. What's the challenge in everyday life? What's the challenge as we walk in this? What's the challenge as we move forward in life? Our minds have to be renewed. Our thinking needs to be renewed. Our hearts need to be transformed by the revelation of God's mercy. The more that we get God's heart, the more that we understand how He thinks. And the most difficult thing is, when we became born again, God just didn't press the erase button. Do you know that? Yeah. For some of us, you know, we might think about ourselves in a negative way. God doesn't want you to think about yourself or others in a negative way. He wants you to think how He thinks. And He wants you to speak how He speaks. Romans 8. The next slide, please. Romans 8. Now, I didn't write this. Do you remember that the Lord wrote this? Okay? So don't take it out on me when I read this one. "Sinful thinking leads to spiritual death. But to allow your life to be under the control of the Holy Spirit will result in sharing God's life and knowing His peace. Sinful thinking is totally against God's will. Such attitudes show there is no submission to Him and His purposes. For you cannot serve God while your mind is full of sinful, selfish thoughts. That would suggest you're being controlled by your desires and not His." We can't serve God. God wants to serve Him out of the grace and out of the union that we have and the union that we live. But God knows we can't serve Him with wrong attitudes about others, wrong attitudes about ourselves, because we're a people of light. Amen. A people of His glory, a people chosen to demonstrate His love. Love looks like something. Christ in you, the hope of glory, has come to reside in you. And love looks like something. Love is practical. Love isn't just about words. But love's about actions. But they come from right heart attitudes. Romans 12, next slide, please. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." Has anybody ever here bought a painting or got a painting in your home? And there's a backdrop to this painting, and there's a lot of detail in the picture, but the backdrop of this painting is beautiful. And I think the backdrop of God's painting is mercy. God didn't deal with us as we deserved. And he bore all of our infirmities, all of our rebellion, all of our sin, sickness, separation. He didn't come to, in a sense, judge us. He came to save us. But he knew at one point in time, God had to step into history. And as he stepped into history, and as he took his place, he became our sin offering. He became the place where God marked, where all of our separation was born on his very body. And I love at the beginning of Romans here, because it says, therefore I urge you, brothers. So everything that you do and everything, the outworking of your worship, the backdrop of that worship is because of the revelation of God's mercy. It says, holy and pleasing to God, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We know, as we step out of the room, we know the society that we're in. Society tries to shape us, tries to conform us to be like it. But we are kingdom people, not being conformed by society, but we're being conformed by Christ's likeness in us, aren't we? Amen? And it says, do not any longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a work of transformation. There's like a paradigm shift. If we've thought a certain way, God wants to spin us completely around. If we're thinking negatively about our friends, our neighbors, people, ourselves, there's a paradigm shift that God wants us to do. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good and pleasing, perfect will. Now here's quite a little bit of a difficult thing here to hear. You see, our actions are the direct result of our thoughts and attitudes. Can I have the bad bit first before we have the good bit, alright? But we have to go there. Our actions are the direct result of our thoughts and attitudes. This is a quote from Joyce Meyer. I love Joyce Meyer. What a woman of God she is. She says, you can not have a positive life and a negative mind. You cannot have a positive life and a negative mind. Next slide, please. We put this up. Here's my Star Wars bit now. Here we go. See, what do you see? What do you think? Everything's coming out of our hearts and our minds. You remember the scriptural place, certainly in Hebrew thought, is heart-mind connection, isn't it? What do you say? What do you do? What do you hear? And God wants this life, this process. God wants the reality of what we do to come out of the life of the Spirit. God wants the reality of what we say to be encouraging, to be uplifting. I used to say to myself, and I'm admitting my sin to you this morning here. I don't know if you ever did this, that just makes me so sick. And I had to stop saying that. That just makes me so sick. And the Lord went, no, it doesn't, Gary. See, what we speak over ourselves is a creative power. It creates life. It creates life and death. And God wants us to be speaking what is life over ourselves, speaking what is life over our neighborhoods, speaking what is life over our friends, speaking what is life over them. And I can remember this is a few years ago now, but my son was taking his GCSEs. It changes every year, doesn't it, with kids? You know, GCSEs, O-levels, A-levels, B-levels, C-levels, whatever it is. And I can remember, bless his heart, he was really trying really hard. And I knew in his heart he'd done his best. But, you know, first time round, some of the results, what he got, you know, some of them weren't great. See, I had an opportunity to speak over him I value, despite what you did in your exams. So do I speak only value when things are going well? I've got to learn to speak value. It doesn't matter what season or what time I'm going in. I had to speak value over him. Renewing our thinking is not a casual activity. As we read the word of truth, a powerful process begins to happen. It literally changes the whole way we think. It cleanses us inwardly and begins to wash and separate us from everything that is unclean or worldly. Every journey we take with God is an exciting one. He desires to reveal his thoughts to every one of his children. And we start to realize how high his thinking is. We are challenged to bring our thinking into alignment with the one who spoke creation into being. Let's just say this is the plumb line of God's word, and you know, God's speaking over you. I'm trying not to feedback the speaker as I do this. You know, we're standing over here and we're saying stuff over ourselves. You know, but God's thinking and God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And he's saying, child, don't speak this over you. Come in line with what I'm saying. Come in line. Kingdom people speak his life over themselves. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And as you're speaking the word, faith is coming. God is authoring that faith. As we learn to think differently, a corresponding action will start to take place. Our outward lives will reflect an inward transformation. We could have spent many years being shaped by negativity, but unless this is washed away and replaced with the truth, what will happen is we'll default back to a negative state. Yeah? God doesn't want us to live in a default zone. He wants us to live renewed in our thinking, in our hearts, and our attitudes. Amen. I went to, I'm just going to show a DVD in a minute, just of someone that you might know well. I found myself, I was with my wife in Marks and Spencer's. And when you get to that wonderful age of 50, I usually like to go to Marks and Spencer's. And before, you know, I go in there, I would have had a bun. I'm not allowed a bun anymore. It's a piece of toast now. It's the closest I can get to it. But as I sat there talking to my wife, I found myself going moany, 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 whingy, moany, moany. Have you ever been like that? You had a little session of a moaning session? And I turned to my wife and I said, darling, I sound like the donkey in Winnie the Pooh. I actually sound like the donkey. Now I'm going to give you an illustration of what this donkey sounded like now. I'm just going to ask friend here, hopefully we can play this and the sound will come through.
No matter, there's most less than Dan Hanway.
Poor dear. You know, I may have just the thing.
Up on Lookie Go.
There you are.
It's an awful nice tail, Kenya. Much nicer than the rest of me. It's not much of a tail, but I'm sort of attached to it. Not much of a house. Just right for not much of a donkey.
Might take a day or two, but I'll find a new one.
End of the road. Nothing to do. And no hope of things getting better. Sounds like Saturday night at my house.
Okay. And the obvious statement I'm going to make now is don't be an Eeyore. Yeah. Kingdom people aren't created to be Eeyores. We're created to speak life. But all of that comes out of our hearts. I'm going to just show the next slide here. See, it's not just about not conforming to the pattern of this world. It's about being conformed to the image of his son. Yes, we rightly have to deal with the negative, which involves repentance. But we also have to give time to plant the positive seed of God's word into the soil of our hearts and minds. It's both repentance and faith which is needed. My wife has got a wonderful allotment, and she spends certain points of the season, she spends time sowing. And when she sows, she doesn't sow not expecting to reap a harvest. I am the fruit of the harvest. My roundness is the fruit of her harvest. You know, she has to keep a, we have to keep a little bit of a check on the carbs, because I would be mashed potato man. But you see, she sows. She sows to produce a harvest, and that harvest, we bear the fruit and we eat the fruit of that harvest. But the one thing that really winds her up more than anything is the ability for other seeds to come and land and attach themselves. And so she's had this allotment for about 6 or 7 years now, maybe a bit longer. And for me, the thing that really is a challenge is this thing called bindweed. Anybody know about bindweed? It's a weed that travels, okay? It goes under and it travels. Its tentacles go under and it goes over. And it, what it tries to do, it tries to clog the life out of the plants and the life out of what's happening. You see, that's what sin does. If we allow negative things to be planted in the soil of our hearts and their mind, what they do is they try and choke out the word of God in us. Next slide, please. James 1:22 to 25 says, "You deceive yourself if you only listen to God's word. You need to do what it says. For the person who listens to the word but fails to act on it is like someone who sees his face in a mirror and then immediately forgets what he looked like. By contrast, the person who takes seriously what God commands us to enjoy enjoys freedom. He continues to obey because he does not forget what he has heard. And so he is blessed in what he does." We can see that every mirror is designed to reflect back a true image of our natural faces and appearance. His word is like a mirror. It doesn't reveal what is external, but the inward nature and condition of our hearts. It can strip back, so to speak, the superficial and reveal the core intentions of our innermost thoughts and attitudes. Like a master surgeon is trained to operate with accuracy and precision, knowing where to cut and remove diseased tissue, so is God's living word. It can execute the most complex and dangerous operations, exposing the very thoughts and attitudes of the heart. This scripture isn't on the screen here, but I love this one in Hebrews. God's word is always alive. It's always alive, and it will work actively in all who believe. God's word in you is always alive, and it will work actively in you to all those who believe. His word is sharper than any blade. It separates spirit and soul, showing us what is of God and what is of self. It demonstrates what is merely external and what is of the heart. Listen to this. It even shows us whether our thoughts and our heart attitudes are right or not. I praise God for the word. Jesus became the living word, but I praise God for the word. There was an old quote that's often given. I love this quote. "Remember that while you're reading the Bible is also reading you." Yeah. While you're reading the Bible is also reading you. Let's make this an obvious statement. When you look in a natural mirror, we may see a hair out of place. And I know what you're going to say now. I know what you're thinking. The guy hasn't got a lot. That's okay. I always tell people I'm too tall for my hair. That's what I just say, you know. We brush our hair. If there's dirt on our face, we wash it clean. If our clothes are untidy, we straighten them up, or we change into something more presentable. In the same way, as you take hold of the word, as you take hold of God's word for you, I love that God has left us two things. I've exalted above all things your name and your word. God has left us the word, but God has given us the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth will always lead us and guide us into truth. The Spirit of truth will always lift our eyes on Jesus. Will always lift us to Him, to see who He is. But in the same way, we must respond and act when we look into the mirror of God's word. If the mirror reveals that we've taken offense, what do? We quickly choose to forgive. Why? As I said before, the word becomes the plumb line for our responses, not our emotions. We need to remember the word and the spirit will be working together. By looking into the spiritual mirror with his word, what will happen? You'll see things as God sees them. And it's so important that we walk in obedience and don't delay our response. See, whenever we delay our response, so many years ago, I made a mistake, okay? Has anybody else ever made a mistake here? Thank you. Just work with me. I made a mistake, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm still working through this, Holy Spirit said to me, he said, Gary, he said, you're putting on too much weight. And I know I've got to keep working at that. And what happened in me in my life, food became, like comfort eating became a place where, because I wasn't dealing with what was happening in my world, I used to comfort eat to deal with the stress. And you see, and the Holy Spirit said, Gary, you can't. And what I did in my natural, you see, I just parked that over here. And we had a situation many, many years ago, but it's coming into my memory as I'm talking, where we had a men's outreach kind of weekend in the church in Horsham, and all the guys decided to go away for a weekend. And for some crazy, mad reason, I decided that, you know, some of it is going to be we're really meeting with God and touching God and encountering Him. And in another times we had social time, male bonding. It's called male bonding. We had times together where we just have fun together. And for some mad reason, I chose to play football with the 18-year-olds. What a mistake that was made. You know, guess where they put me? In defense, because I wasn't going to be much cop in the... you know, I just couldn't keep up with him. But I had this young lad, he ran up to me, and he came into me like a tank. You know, and you know, like the basic physics, when one object traveling at 20 miles an hour meets a stationary object, you know, something happens. And he fell in, you know, he hit me. I fell down and I broke three of my ribs just in that. And what it was because of my weight. Oh, delayed obedience was disobedience. I'm not saying that God's going to punish us. I'm just giving you just an illustration. Delayed obedience is disobedience. You see, when we look into God's word, we can't be the people that decide to choose, well, I'm going to believe that good bit there today. I'm going to throw away. That's a bit too much for me today. That's a bit challenging. You see, we can't do that. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us into all truth. I had another occasion as well, but that's when... but I won't go there. That is even more funnier than that one. It was a firework display, but I won't talk about that another time. You see, we may genuinely feel remorse or even a level of sorrow. Yet if there is no change in our attitudes and actions, we will not see a real level of freedom and victory in that area of our lives. Why am I saying this? I'm going to give an obvious one here now. You could have a real call to witness to the Muslim community. You could have a real call to witness to your neighbor, your colleagues at work. But it will never be fully achieved or realized if our minds and hearts are full of bigoted attitudes. Yeah? Because we may have, you know, thinking of people, and that there may be certain people groups that up in our minds, you know, there's a stigma there that's left in our minds where we judge a people group or we judge a nation. And yet God might have you, the very person. He might want you to be the conduit that touches that person. He might want you to be the person. But you see, if our minds and hearts are bigoted, and I've just looked up what bigoted means. It means utterly intolerant of any creed, belief, opinion that differs from our own. Oh. If you could just show the next slide, that'd be great. Thank you. God wants us to be people of light. He doesn't want our minds and our hearts to be full of stuff that's negative. You see, and as you keep reading the Word, let the Word do the work in you. Let the Holy Spirit do the work in you. I'm going to get you to do something in a minute. We're going to stand in a minute, and we're going to declare some truth over our lives, because we're going to look into the mirror of what God says about you and what God speaks about you. The mirror isn't just there to deal with the negative. It's there to bring a revelation of who we are now in Christ. Amen. So the mirror's there. Every time that you look into the mirror. Why is that? Because we're a people full of God's light. That God will reveal to us our true identities. God wants us to live out of our identities. If you've been a victim all your life, you don't need to be a victim. Remember that first slide we had about the cross? There's a wonderful translation in Romans where Pastor Colin says, His success is now our success. His success is now our success. Everything that He has won, we can take hold of. Everything we have achieved, we can now lay hold of, because it's coming out of who we are. It's coming out of our identity. We're born again. Just look to your neighbor and smile at them now. You're allowed to smile. You're allowed. You are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Because you're a new creation, you think differently about yourself. You speak differently about yourself. The power in your tongue, we're going to use it in a positive way in a minute. But we're going to speak life. And you can be an instrument of light and an instrument of life in a dark and broken world. Even this week, you know, you might have opportunities. Even your neighbor say, wasn't that bad? Wasn't that, the conversations come up, what happened in Paris? Where you can say, God is good. This isn't God. This is demonic. This is an evil sent into the world, in a sense. But we know that evil things corrupt. It has the ability to corrupt the human heart. Praise God for the mercy of God. Praise God for the grace of God. So, do you want to stand with me now? Okay, we're just going to have... This is participation time. We're probably going to do each one of them twice. Okay? And if you can put the next slide up. We're going to speak this now, okay? Granville, we can go with the passion now, okay? Go with this one. Okay, together. I am no longer worthless, inadequate or hopeless. In Christ, I'm deeply significant and special. God says I'm a branch of the true vine, Jesus, a channel of His life. I have been chosen, appointed by God to bear fruit. I am God's workmanship, created for good works. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. Amen. Okay. Just take that down a little bit. Now we're going to do that again with passion. Okay? Okay. I am no longer worthless, inadequate or hopeless. In Christ, I'm deeply significant and special. God says I am a branch of the true vine, Jesus, a channel of His life. I have been chosen, appointed by God to bear fruit. I am God's workmanship, created for good works. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Okay, next one, please. I am secure. I am no longer guilty, unprotected or abandoned. In Christ, I am totally secure. God says I am free from condemnation. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am a citizen of heaven. I am hidden in Christ with God. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Amen. That's true for you. I'm going to say that again. Okay. Say that again. I am secure. I am no longer guilty, unprotected, alone, or abandoned. In Christ, I am totally secure. God says I'm free from condemnation. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am a citizen of heaven. I am hidden in Christ with God. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Amen. Okay, we got one more here. Okay, one more. I am accepted. I am no longer rejected, unloved, or dirty. In Christ, I am completely accepted. God says, I am a child of light. I am Christ's friend. I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. I've been adopted as God's child, and I am complete in Him. Amen. Amen. Let's read that again. I'm accepted. I'm no longer rejected, unloved or dirty. In Christ, I am completely accepted. God says I am a child of light. I am Christ's friend. I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. I've been adopted as Christ's child. I am complete in Christ. Amen. Let's just thank the Lord for that, yeah. Thank the Lord. That's true for you. Okay, if you want to be seated just for a few more minutes. Just the next scripture. This is in Matthew 5. You are to give light to the world. A city built on a hilltop cannot be hidden from sight. Neither do people hide the light from a lamp under the basin. No, they place the lamp on a lampstand where it can give light to the whole house. Verse 16. Next one. Thank you. In the same way, your spiritual light is to be evident to all around you, so that they can see the good things you do and then praise your Father in heaven. You see, the good works do not produce salvation. The good works are the product of salvation. Our faith is not based on the works we do, but on the outcome of our faith or the outworking of what we believe. What we believe is not based on what we do, but what we do is the outcome of what we believe. Every time we look at what we have in the Spirit, at what God has done for us, we get encouraged. So you only spent a few minutes there looking into the mirror. And every day you can look into that mirror and you can look into the blessing of who you are in Christ, of what God's made you. But the good works that God has planned for us, they're born out of our relationship with the Lord, and they're born out of the Spirit which God has for us. And they're not a work of our self-effort. They are the work of the Holy Spirit. And every one of us in this room, God has placed you next to friends, neighbors, family, people, situations and circumstances. And He wants your light to shine. Your light to shine. He doesn't want any negative attitudes towards about people, situations. He's called you to be a kingdom people, a people that live in the light of who He is. Amen. It is good news today. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. God has placed his fullness. What is the outworking of the life of the Holy Spirit in our lives? What do these kingdom actions look like? How are these really worked out and expressed? Okay, next slide, please. For in Christ Jesus, neither being a Jew nor a Gentile is of any significance. All that matters is that you live a life of faith that is expressed in a life of love for God and others. God doesn't want our lives to be like a clanging gong. We say all the right things, but there's no love and there's no reality attached to it. I mean, one of your leaders, Richard, would know in that there are men and women in the church back in Horsham that I've walked with and I'm still walking with now for 15 years. Some of them are still going through really difficult situations, but I don't look at them through the eyes of judgment. I look at them through the eyes of love, because I want God's best for them. We all make mistakes. Yeah, and I know, in one of the things God said, you know, sometimes what happens in our lives, I think, on the journey as we walk with the Lord and as we go on that journey with him, what happens is the more that we go on, the more that we realize it's a work of his grace and a work of his mercy. And there's a brokenness that comes into your life, not of the world breaking you, but God breaking you with his love. And God breaking you with his mercy. And you look at people and you see them through his eyes. And if we start seeing people as God sees them, a transformational change will happen. Rather than, you know that prayer we pray, oh Lord, just Lord, fill me with your love, fill me with your love. Lord, just fill me with your love. And then, Lord, I want to be a vessel of your love. And you know the real challenging thing? God finds the most obnoxious person and he brings them right between for us. And he says, love them. Don't be manipulated by it. God's love is not manipulative. He says, love them. Pray for them. Look after them. Care for them. Speak my word over them. Bless them. But we're great in the church, aren't we? We put all our hands up. We say, oh God, here I am, send me. And all of a sudden you find, oh no, it's standing right in front of me. This is a bit near home now. And you know, I had to come to that place many, many years ago. You know, where God said to me, the Lord just said to me personally, Gary, I'm gonna ask you to do things you don't want to do in the natural. And I went, thank you. But this isn't about us doing what we want. This is about us being a blessing. This is about us being a people full of light. Kingdom people, full of light. We have to be convinced that our kingdom life and relationships are not based on the limited resources of our human love. His agape love is limitless. Romans 5. It says, because God has already filled our hearts with his love through his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us to live with us. God has already filled our hearts with his love. In a minute, if that's okay, Richard, I'm going to ask just for, you know, God's presence just to fill this place. I'm going to ask the band to come up. And the band being Dave. Larry, there you are, Larry. We're just gonna sing, come Holy Spirit, fill this place. Fill our lives afresh today. There's a scripture I love, it's Philippians here now, it's the last one. See, what's your name again, sorry? It's not there. Okay, I'll read this out. Philippians 2 verse 14, what's your name anyway? Laura. Let's just thank the Lord for Laura. Shall we just thank God for Laura? Philippians 2 verse 14 says, in everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing. In certain ways, there are certain people in this country that have made complaining and arguing a culture. But that's not so with us as a kingdom people. so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. Let your lives shine brightly before them. Now listen to the next bit. Hold tightly to the word of life. Amen. Hold tightly to the word of life, so that when Christ returns, I will be proud that I did not lose the race and that my work was not useless. In this time of worship, and as I hand the meeting over, I'm going to, if anybody needs prayer today, if anybody needs a miracle today, I'm going to ask, you know, whoever's involved in the leadership to come and just, and we're going to just going to see a breakthrough for those people. But the first thing, should we stand together? Just start playing. Father, I just thank you. Father, if I've been a person that's, Father, that's just lived in that place of negativity, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus for your cleansing and your healing right now. That I would truly turn away from being speaking negative things, having a negative attitude of a certain people group. I would truly move away from that. I would repent. I would turn away from it. But Father, I thank you. Just right, lift your hands to the Lord now. Just thank you for that transformation of thinking. Transform and renew us. Father, let the word of God dwell in us richly. Father, let the word, Father, reveal your life. Let your word, Father, reveal, Father, who we are. Let your word, Lord God, bring about. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you that we can look in the mirror of your word every single day. We can allow our lives to be flooded with truth and flooded with light. And I thank you today, Lord God. And Holy Spirit, we just thank you. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, work in everybody's heart. That we're a kingdom people. We're kingdom thinking, Lord God. That our actions and our attitudes flow out of a relationship with you. Flow out of life with you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. So if anybody does want prayer today, I'm just going to hang around with Richard and Sharon and any other leaders here that you know who you are. And we're just going to worship, and then I'll hand it over to Richard.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.